Okay, quick quiz here. Everybody knows about Thomas. What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. There you go. Why do we call doubting Thomas? Well, for one thing, Jesus said, don't doubt. For another thing, clearly he said, well, I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I would suggest to you that Thomas got kind of a bad rap. And first of all, he was not least among those who were doubting. Think about it for a minute. Jesus is out there being crucified, and the disciples, by and large, are invisible. This group of people who were closer to Jesus than anybody else were not there. Well, with exceptions, but by and large, they were not there. And then Jesus died on the cross and was buried. And those who had been around him had the opportunity, I suppose, to go around town and say, or at least say to one another, don't worry. He's told us he will return. We don't have to worry about this. They didn't do that either. They, in fact, did what I suspect most of us would have done. They found what was the safest place they could find and locked the door and said, I hope I'm not next. And I think that's a very human reaction to what had happened to their world, which had been truly turned upside down. I mean, if you'd given up whatever you had and followed Jesus around the countryside in the hope that this would turn into something bigger, and then your leader was caught up by the Romans and hung up on a cross and died, you would begin to think that perhaps you had bet on the wrong horse in this race. And so when Jesus appears before them, and it's interesting to note that he's just there. You know, the door is locked, there's nobody else getting in, and sort of poof, he's there. The poof is not recorded, but you know, you can add it if you want to. Thomas isn't there, he's somewhere else. And so those disciples don't believe instantly. They don't look up and say, Jesus, it's good to see you. They're not quite sure what to do, and he speaks to them and shows them his hands and his side, and then they say, oh, hello, Jesus. It's good to see you. Glad you could make it. And they tell Thomas about this later, and Thomas says, as you know, when I see it, I will believe it. And since we know Thomas is not from Missouri, then it has to be another reason. Thomas is forever known as Doubting Thomas. Bless you. Let me suggest to you that Thomas alone among the disciples has a reason to doubt. Thomas, if you're a King James fan, his name is Thomas Didymus. Now, you have to know enough Greek to know that that means he's a twin. Well, they say that clearly in the version we get, but we go right past it. Because like so many other things in Scripture, we've heard it over and over and over again, and we know, no matter what it says, that Thomas is doubting Thomas. And it was about probably 6 years, it was when Liddy Hoster was still here. I was reading that passage in preparation for presumably a church service, and I sent Liddy an email and I said, Thomas was a twin. Thomas knew what it was like to be mistaken for his brother. You know, the Thomas, who was that I saw you with down at Capernaum last week? Who was that woman, you know? And Thomas said, that wasn't me, that was my brother. So Thomas is familiar with the idea that people see someone and they think it is someone else. So what does he do? He does what is natural for him. He says, I'm not so sure I'm going to have to see this person. And he does. And to his credit, Thomas does what none of the other disciples is recorded as having done. Having seen God in person, Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He is the first person to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and God. It is therefore not fair to take Thomas and have him forever be a doubter. Thomas is the first true believer. His career in the church does very well. He goes on to India, which is not all that easy to do. And he starts the church in India, and he is revered to this day. in India, where they celebrate his festal day. So I would suggest to you that we give Thomas, let's make him St. Thomas, if you wish. And let us also realize that in this season of Easter, when things are different, we're going to spend 50 days when, for example, the first lesson is not the Old Testament. This morning, we're not going to do a confession and an absolution because it's Eastertide. We know that Jesus lives, that God lives, that we are saved. We really don't need to have that reminder of our shortcomings. We focus for this 50 days on that joy of the resurrection. It is fitting that if we spend 40 days in Lent remembering Jesus and his time in the desert, that we spend more time than that, the great 50 days of Easter, realizing that the good news lives among us. I would commend to you this morning, as you listen to the words of the Eucharist, to listen to them anew. We hear them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They are the same words over and over and over again, spoken by different people, but we know what they are. And if you're like I am, you kind of tune out. Well, I don't get to tune out because I'll drop the wine if I do, but you know, you tune out, right? I mean, we all do. Listen carefully for the part, since we're not going to have a confession and we're not going to have an absolution, listen for the discussion of sin and forgiveness that is throughout the liturgy of the Eucharist. For it is not to that confession and absolution that we look for our forgiveness. It is, first of all, to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but secondly, to this sacrament of which we partake. Listen to the words that are said over the bread and the wine, and realize that this is the significant part of our worship. In short, listen to things with new ears, with the ears of new birth. And using the words of this morning's collect, which I also commend to you, essentially the idea that we go forth into the world and live in our lives the words that we have heard and the words that we have said with our lips. There's a wonderful post-communion prayer that I used to say for years and years to myself. And it goes, well, to say something like this, it goes exactly like this. Blessed, praised, and adored be Christ on his holy throne of glory, and grant that we may go forth from this place to show forth in our lives the words we have said with our lips. May that be your task for Easter, for the great 50 days, to take the joy and share it. I offer these words in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.